Tonight we're going to turn to a familiar passage of Scripture, John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And we'll look at this passage tonight kind of the way that it's always looked at, but a little bit differently. And some things that we can apply to our heart and to our life. And we certainly are reminded at times like this, but in our everyday life, we're reminded of the importance of the Scripture, the importance of having an anchor, a foundation to depend on. We often say as Christians, I don't know how somebody survives in this world without Christ. And that's the truth. But I don't know how Christians survive in this world without being anchored to the Word of God. Our salvation can be anchored to the Word of God, but our life needs to be anchored to the Word of God. And I believe we'll find something in the Scripture that will help us tonight. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, if this don't help you, it helped me putting it together. And so you just smile, nod your head, say amen every once in a while. Give me a well glory every once in a while, and it'll encourage my heart. But I think it'll be a help to us. John chapter number 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We're certainly reminded in verse number 6 of the importance of knowing Jesus personally as your Savior. That is the only way to get to the Father is through the Son. And we're thankful for that. And often this passage is used incorrectly so. And we want to provide comfort as a reminder that of the promises that Jesus gave his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for them. And we know that place to be heaven, and we know how wonderful it is, and we know that he's going to be there. There's so many sermons that could be preached and need to be preached again from this passage of Scripture, and certainly in that context, we want to look at this tonight, but I want us to focus on verse number 1, and I don't really have a title for this. I don't really have an outline, which all of that means is dangerous, and we're going to look at verse number 1, but as I was thinking this week and thinking yesterday afternoon and then all day today, and the word here that just kind of caught my attention, and I just focused in on it, and I believe there's some wonderful lessons and truths we find in verse number 1. Let not your heart be, what's that next word? Troubled. All of us take where we're at now and remove it and exclude that, and all of us have been there. Many of us are there now. Is that troubled heart. It's that word trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. How many of you say your heart's been troubled, is troubled? There's a good chance it's going to be troubled again. I'm going to explain what that means in more detail in just a moment. So we look at that command, let not your heart be troubled. And every one of you, including myself, just admitted that we have violated what Christ said. But we really didn't. Because I'm gonna show you what I believe the Bible is teaching us in context and what our Lord is teaching his disciples. Let me remind you and I that God knows we are humanity. He knows we are weak. He knows we are limited. He knows we have failures. He knows we have only so much strength, so much ability. And he does not hate us for that. He does not condemn us for that. He understands. One of the verses that has encouraged my heart so many times in my life is the fact that he remembereth that we are but dust. Now, it would be good for you and I to remember each other's dust, because we certainly sometimes hold higher standards. You know, it's like, I don't understand why they're not perfect. Well, they're probably saying the same thing about you. I don't understand why they're not perfect. But we're dust, and God doesn't forget that. And yet, because of that, he gave his Son to pay our sin debt. Isn't that a wonderful reminder? We know this. He paid our sin debt. But if we look at that word troubled, so if he tells us for our hearts not to be troubled, and yet we find ourselves often troubled, where does that leave us? This word troubled, and I begin to think of this word troubled, and of course, you want to put a meaning to the word troubled, and I'll give you a description of this and a meaning of the word. It's to be stirred up. to be agitated. Some of you wake up troubled, you go to bed troubled, or you didn't get you didn't get troubled until you got married or whatever. But it's to get agitated. And I'm not talking about an agitation that's just like, that person annoys me, or this traffic is annoying me. Because if we define it further, it's to disturb inwardly. It's something that takes place on the outside that disturbs us on the inside. It is to throw into confusion, to take order and make it disorder. It's to cause emotional turmoil. So it's to be stirred up, it's to be agitated, it's to be disturbed inwardly, it's to be confused or to throw into confusion. Or you get everything in your life in order, you think, and then something just won't fall in place. It won't. It's like some of you ladies taking 3.5 months to put a puzzle together, and you get all the way down to it, and that last piece is missing. Now, I may or may not have come through and put it in my pocket, but that's another story. And it's like something that can't be in order if something's not, it's troubling. You see the way things go in this world, and you're like, we can be troubled by the way things go in society, in the world. We can be troubled by the actions of others. We can be troubled by that phone call. We can be troubled by things we don't understand. It's important for us to understand that when our Lord is saying, let not your heart be stirred up, agitated, be disturbed inwardly, be thrown into confusion, or be in an emotional turmoil. It carries the idea of water being violently stirred, like a storm-tossed sea. You feel like a stormy sea is on the inside, is troubled. You can't rest. If you were in a small boat on a stormy sea, you would not go to sleep. One, the waves aren't going to let you. Two, if you fear for your life, you're going to make sure that everything is doing what it's supposed to do. Life does that to us. We get that stormy sea on the inside. See, what our Lord is telling us, He's speaking this, let not your heart be troubled. Now, this is the same, let me give you some context. Let me do it this way. He is giving this command, obviously, at a very specific moment. We get so much out of this if we just start with John 14. But if we go back a little bit and set the stage for when the Lord is talking to these disciples, in chapter 13, verse 33, He says, I'm going to leave you. Now, let's put that in context. They're successful businessmen. They're fishermen. They're tax collectors. They're devout Jews. They're devout in the law, in the temple. And they leave everything. Some family's not letting them come back. Society has ostracized them. They have been persecuted. They've slept in the wilderness. They left everything for Jesus. And He says, I'm leaving you. Now, tell me if you believe this to be true, and whether you believe it or not to be true. Let me tell you it's true, so that might help you in how you answer this. Do we know that these men have like passions as you and I? They're human. So if they're human, is it within the realm of possibility in those 12 men, remember one of them is a devil, one of them has a name as doubting, Peter can't keep his mouth shut, Matthew is a former tax collector, I mean, I don't know what that even means, but you get all of these, is it possible in the realm of possibility that one of these men is thinking, you can't do that, that's not fair. Is it in the realm of possibility that someone is thinking, we forsook everything for you, and now you're leaving us high and dry? Is it not in the realm of possibility that at least one of those men, they may not verbalize it, but the thought goes through their mind, well, he should have told us that before we left the family business. It is after he is telling them, I know you've left everything, I know you've forsaken everything, I know you've made sacrifices, and now you've been branded as being a follower of me. But I just want to let you guys know that I'm leaving you, and it seems unfair. I'm going to give you an explanation, but you're not going to understand it. I'm going to tell you what we're doing, but you're not going to like it. It's in that context he says, don't get so worked up about it. Think of that. He also lets them know that one of them is going to betray them. But think about that. There's many more people than 12 in here, but what if the Lord made it obvious in some way that one of you is a devil in here? Now, I'd say, Lord, that's a low estimate, but anyway. No, he said, one of you is a devil. I tell you how we respond. Sometimes how we respond when there's been times when I warn, I said, this is not, can't go on, and this isn't going, this is something you need to watch out. And it's like, not in our church. No, not them. Pastor's exaggerating. Or pastor's just upset at them. But he says, one of you is a devil. Now, let's fast forward our minds. Was the Lord right? Absolutely. But how do you think that would affect them, this look around and say, he said one of us is a betrayer? Would that shake their confidence? Certainly. Then, if that's not, he predicted denial. See, the disciples' entire world as they knew it is about to collapse. Now, let me run this real quick, fast forward. He is going to leave them. He is falsely accused. He is arrested. He is tried. He is beaten. He is crucified. We know all of that. How their world is not what it was pre-John 14. Then he's resurrected. Praise the Lord. He's back. He did what he said he was going to do. He's conquered death. He is the Son of God. There's vindication for what we believe. There's vindication for how we left and forsook. And in Acts chapter 1, he's gathered them together and he's getting ready to, and they're like, is it time for you to be king now? And they want him to be king because they want him to be king. But guess who's going to get to serve right under that king? He said, no. I'm leaving. Y'all go be witnesses of everything that you've seen everywhere. Not just here, but go to the Gentiles. Go to those foreign nations. They're going to all be, God's going to use them in a great way, but ultimately they're all going to be martyred. Think about how wonderful it is to be a follower of Christ when you have no food. He takes a little lunch. He multiplies it. Everybody eats, and you collect 12 baskets full. Sign me up for that all day long. Follower of Christ? Yes, please. I'll do it. Think about what it would be like. They were afraid. We know the context, but Jesus coming, walking on the water, and when they realize it's him, wow. Think about the miracles they got to see. This is awesome. Why wouldn't everybody do this? But now the Lord's saying, okay, don't get worked up. What do you mean don't get worked up? You just told us you're leaving us. You just told us our entire world as we know it's going to collapse. See, their hearts are already troubled before he says, don't let them be troubled. Why is John 14 that passage we go to when our hearts are already troubled, when it starts out, don't be the way you are right now? Well, this is the context that we get. That word troubled, we're reminded Jesus himself was troubled at Lazarus' tomb in John 11, 33. When he was facing the cross, that word was not used, but he's wrestling, asking his Father. In John 13, 21, regarding his betrayal, just because the Lord knew it was true doesn't mean it didn't bother him. And just because we know he loves us unconditionally doesn't mean we never grieve him. See, the trouble is not that this having your heart troubled is a sin. It's when your heart stays there that we get ourselves in trouble. He's saying, yes, one of you is a devil, one of you is going to betray me, I'm leaving you, it's about to get tough. But don't get worked up about it. They're already worked up about it because he's their stability. Think about this. Don't we always tell ourselves, doesn't it make good preaching for the preacher to say, trust in Jesus, lean on him, depend on him? And then that's what they're doing. And he's saying, I'm leaving you. Well, how are we going to depend on you? Now, of course, we know if you continue in this chapter, and we often don't go there, he says, I'm leaving, there's another coming. And that's the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to get this far tonight, but he's going to help you with that troubled heart. But you have to have the mindset that we're not staying here. Let's look at that word heart. We know what this is, but he's referring to our mind, our emotions, our will. What Jesus is addressing is the control center of the person. When somebody else does something that controls our actions, we are yielding our control center to them. Well, they just make me angry. Well, that's yielding your control center. Now, we know that we have emotions. God made us that way. But I don't believe our Lord is saying, don't ever get worked up. He's saying, when you get worked up, don't stay worked up. When you find yourself in disturbed inwardly, and for some of you, I'm not talking about your mental capacity. I'm talking about your emotional capacity. I'm talking about that inward control center. Everyone in here has been disturbed inwardly at some point in time, many points in time. That's part of being human. It doesn't mean we don't have emotions. Being a good Christian, it means our spirit being spirit controlled, it means that we yield our emotions. And so when we find ourselves in that situation where inwardly we're disturbed, we're worked up, that raging sea is going inside of us. And sometimes we can't even explain that. He's not saying, don't ever get that way. You're sad because you don't have faith. I don't find that in the Bible. I find it the contrary. When you are disturbed inwardly, when you have that those emotions, when you find out life is not going to play out how you envisioned it, because when he came to be the king, they said, he's here to be the king now. And as many times as he tried to teach them, no, I'm not doing that now. I have another purpose. They were just like, he's the king. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. I know, as king. I mean, you can imagine this, how they had just convinced themselves. And then, from a human understanding, when you see what is done to your Lord, they put him in a tomb, and 3 days later, he is showing himself to you. There's no human understanding of why you wouldn't be king right now. But we know that our Lord had another plan. Part of that plan is I got to go prepare that place so that the very reason I did what I did would be ready for you So we find that in the context. But I do want us to understand this is a command. He's saying, do not allow your heart to remain agitated. Do not give place to inward chaos. The last 24 hours have been shocking. You cannot control that. But we don't have to stay in that place of chaos. You say, when do we get out? Well, that depends. Can I force myself out of it? Not necessarily. But trouble may come to the heart. I'm going to help us with this. But it must not be allowed to rule the heart. Our second daughter went to heaven in 2001, and I'm still not over it. But it does not rule me. I miss my mother. I still get sad. Mother's Day's coming up. I will think about it. But that agitation does not rule my heart. Putting it in context of this passage of Scripture, if the troubled state their hearts were in, if those disciples let it rule them, they would have become bitter at Him. And it's a dangerous thing for the Christian when things don't go the way that we thought the Lord was laying them out. And we can see the thing. He's telling them, I'm doing it. Nero's not doing this, I'm doing it. And when we can see it doesn't lay out the way we thought it was going to lay out, and you can see the fingerprints of God on that, you still get agitated because it shakes your stability. It shakes your security. You're like, what are we going to do now? Well, He says, I'm sending you another. But before that, it's what am I going to do? And He says, let not your heart be troubled. What He's saying is, troubles come to your heart, but don't let it rule it. And there's a lot of Christians who something on the outside has disturbed them on the inside. And instead of letting the Spirit of God, that great Comforter, come and help them, they all the time passes and it's still ruling their heart. That inward will is deciding everything, is making every decision. You know, there, in situations that we're dealing with now, there's questions that come into your mind. They're logical questions, but they should not be ruling questions. See, it comes to your heart. It can be agitated. I'll confess to you. My inward man is in chaos. But the day, it's not going to rule me. You know, it's, well, I can't face people. Well, you aren't easy to face. And I'm not saying there's not times when you don't step away and you don't have to deal with things, but when are we going to stop letting the inward chaos rule us? I'm not minimizing anxiety. I'm not minimizing those things. But we were too quick to wave the white flag and say, I'm just going to let it rule me. Right. Isn't this making sense? Good. It comes to the heart. And you've heard me say this. It's okay to be human. It's okay to grieve. In fact, we need to quit de-spiritualizing, not grieving. God made us that way. And it's not if I'm hurting or I'm sad or I'm crying or I'm weeping, that means I don't have faith. 100% not. It means you're troubled. That on the outside has disturbed me on the inside. And it's got me worked up. And it's very similar in our life how he's telling them in his life, it's not going to go the way you had it planned. And let me tell you, I'm the one doing that. And when that happened, they couldn't see the cross. He says, the Comforter is coming. I'm giving you another. And we don't have time, but if you look at everything he says the Comforter is doing, we need to be reminded of that. If they were like the typical Baptist crowd, half of them let it go in one ear and out the other and never heard the word Comforter. They didn't see the cross. They didn't see the empty tomb. They didn't see Pentecost. They didn't see the judgment seat of Christ receiving crowns. It was like, this is not what we signed up for. He says, I'm letting you know that I'm leaving you. And it's got you, and they're troubled. But what he's saying to them is, don't allow it to rule your heart. Now, very simply tonight, you say, well, Pastor, I'm with you. But the heart is troubled. So what do we do when the heart is troubled? Well, the Comforter is coming, so do we just tell ourselves, the Comforter's coming, the Comforter's here, the Comforter's here? Well, we remind ourselves of that, and we lean on Him. And truth of the matter is, the Comforter will do His work. You don't have to ask Him to do it. You have to yield to Him. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God is helping me right now. If I stayed at home, He wouldn't be helping me this way. Anybody getting helped by the Bible tonight? Anybody getting helped by the Spirit of God? You're not getting helped by me. You're getting helped by the Spirit of God. But only if I decided not to stay home. We yield to Him, but let me give you something very practical. Is the cure for that troubled heart. Now this is deep. Are you ready? Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe in God. Amen. What else? Believe in God. Yep. Say, but I'm not getting any answers. That is your answer.
Yep. That's right.
Believe in God. You say, that's hard. Yeah, sometimes it is. But understand, when he's telling them, believe in God, he's saying, you know what God has done. You know he parted the Red Sea. You know he did all those things. You know that he has shown who he is. Just believe in him, trusting him. The second cure I see here is just as deep as the first one. Believe also in me. Has Jesus ever led you astray? Has Jesus ever wronged you? Has Jesus ever let you down? Now, Jesus has changed in your mind. It's never a change in his mind. What he does, this conversation was preordained before the earth was ever formed. He knew what he was going to say and do. He's just now letting them in on it. Just like your life and my life, he's not changing it. It's the way it's always been. We just didn't know it. And he's saying, I'm revealing this to you. That's a change to what you thought it was going to be. Believe also in me. Is he saying, believe that I'm the Messiah? Partly, yes. Is he saying, believe that I'm the Son of God? Partly, yes. Is he saying, do you believe that I'm the one that the prophets have prophesied of? Partly, yes. But he's saying also, believe in what you already seen. Have you seen me walk on the water? Yes. Have you seen me turn the water into wine? Yes. Have you seen me raise the dead? Yes. Have you seen me provide when we had no provision? Yes. And that's what the Lord is telling us today. Yes, He's preparing that place for us. And we thank God we can get there through the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we even get to those promises, He's saying, you know what God has done. You can believe in Him. And if you believe He's the Creator, we do. If you believe He's capable of naming the billions of stars and placing them, which He has, if you believe that's your God, that's a pretty big God to believe in. But you can also believe in me. As you have depended on me and as you followed me, I've never led you astray. I've always been there to comfort you. I've been the one that would lead you have never let you astray. See, the answer to a troubled heart is not the circumstances changing. It's not finding an explanation. What do you say in times like this? It's not the problem disappearing. It's just reinforcing what you already know. That I can believe in God. I can believe in His Son. Because they are greater, more powerful. And God has not changed the plan. It's been His plan the whole time. He just lets us in on it from time to time. And He says, you're already troubled by it. You're already agitated. You're already in turmoil. But don't stay that way. Don't let it rule you. Trust me. Look at what I've already done. This is you're processing this. Your mind can't fully comprehend this. You have questions. And don't we do that while God is talking to us? It's like, well, I wonder what He means by this, or what are we going to do here? And He's saying, hey, you're agitated. Just believe in me. Pastor, why? I don't know why. But I can believe in Him. There's nothing that has prompted God to do certain things in the situations like we're talking about. It's been His plan all along. By the way, He didn't ask. He don't ask me, do you approve of this plan? He doesn't ask you. He doesn't ask me. He just has His plan. I don't know what to do. Believe in me. I've never led you astray. All it is, you say, well, if my circumstances change, I could believe more in God. No, you wouldn't. Because you can never achieve perfection in this world. And if it's not perfection, you're going to want your circumstance to change. At some point, we have to believe God. Well, if I get an explanation, you might not like your explanation. And we don't deserve. He didn't have to give us an explanation. And sometimes the explanation is, I'm doing this. Go on. No, that is the explanation. I'm doing this because He had a much greater purpose than if He had spelled it all out in chapter 14, they never would have grasped it. Because verse 1 is heavy. He can't reveal everything He's going to do. Because my head's cloudy. I'm not thinking straight. Because my spirit is vexed. Because I'm in turmoil. I can't focus. So all He says is, because of what I've told you I'm doing, it's got you worked up on the inside. Don't stay that way. Don't let it rule you. Because I'm going to lay out for you what I'm going to give you to help you to get through this. He didn't say, okay, guys, I see you're upset. You don't get it. I'm going to change my mind. He doesn't do that for you and I either. He says, this is my plan. I'm leaving you. I didn't sign up for that, okay, but you signed up. I'm revealing my plan to you, and you're worked up about it. He does not rebuke them for being troubled. He understood they were troubled. Truth of the matter is, He expected them to be troubled. He says, now don't stay there. Well, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Let me give you 2 points to follow. Believe God. Believe me. Sometimes we want more than that, don't we? But when we say believe God, you know what we're saying? Believe everything that He's shown that He is and He does. We can depend on Christ for our salvation. We can depend on Him for leadership and direction. Now He's saying, I'm going to start laying some things out for you, but you're not fully going to get the grasp. I'm not giving you the doctrine of salvation as laid out in the New Testament books, because you're not ready for that. I'm not going to reveal to you the end times, because you can't handle that right now. You're too worked up right now. And I'm not set at you. That's the way you're made to respond. So what I have to do for you right now is I got to break it down for you. Let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. Now, I'm leaving because in my Father's house. You guys see all of this, but I've seen that. And in my Father's house are many mansions. So if for me to leave here is to go and prepare there. For me to stay here is not to be preparing there. So let me get you through this, because you're worked up and you're only good. Your attention span was this, now it's this. The only way you're getting to, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. Guys, I'm not forsaking you. There's going to come an hour where you're going to look around and say, he's not here with us. But I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm not leaving you again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then Thomas saith unto him, Lord, you know, we call him Doubting Thomas, but it's us. Thomas is just saying what I think every one of them is thinking. And we said this, and what a dumb question. Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? When you got a Cat 5 hurricane going on inside of you, you're cloudy, you're like, he's leaving. How are we going to know where to find you? How are we going to know where you're going? I don't think he's necessarily speaking out of doubt per se, but it's like, I don't know what to do. Jesus saith unto him, you don't need directions, dude. I'm the way. I'm the truth. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, you'll get there. Then the Lord goes through the chapter 14. He says, you're not fully going to understand this, but there comes another. And he's going to do things that have not been done. Then it's through a troubled heart. There's a revealed will. There's a revealed plan. Then he gives steps. As long as you believe in me, I've never led you astray. I'm preparing something greater in the future. But you're going to have somebody with you that will help sustain you until that time comes. Say, that's good what he did for them. Oh, I'm not looking at it that way. That's what he's telling us. And he's using them to tell us tonight. You didn't know what my whole plan was. He had said enough to them for them to know this was a possibility. God has revealed enough to us to know that everything's a possibility. Truth? But then once in a while, he says, sit down. This is the part you didn't know was coming. I didn't tell you this. You signed up to follow me. You trusted me that I would never lead you astray. But this is part of that. And he tells them that. Oh, they are troubled. And their mind is over here. Why didn't he tell us that? Was it worth the sacrifice? And let me remind you, he knows what they're thinking. Just like when we ask those questions, he knows what we're thinking, and he's not mad at us. He's saying, you're troubled, but don't let it rule you. And he says, let me tell you how to keep it from ruling you. Believe in God. Believe in me. He's not just saying, do you believe in God? Check the box. He's saying, believe in Jehovah God. Believe in the God of the universe. Believe in the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one. Believe in the one who's always been. Believe in me. You've seen what I've done. You've seen those miracles. He says, let me walk you through it, because there's more things that I want to do. See, a troubled heart is overwhelmed by uncertainty. Fear agitates us. We get destabilized by our circumstances. But what Christ is saying is fear, but don't let it take control. You can't have courage without fear. Well, these soldiers have courage. Well, they have some fear. Our courage would be nothing. Well, I'm afraid of the future. Okay. But don't be paralyzed by that fear. Don't let it take control. Anchor your heart in the truth. Faith is what will come and be that stabilizer once you've been destabilized. See, Jesus didn't tell them, I'll remove the trouble. He just says, don't let your heart be ruled by it. You have a troubled heart tonight? If you don't have one tonight, you'll have one. If you have one tonight, you'll have another one. It's part of life, part of humanity, part of who we are. I think what I've given us tonight is some insight to just practical, letting our God who loves us, who knows we don't understand, who knows when He reveals that will that was the furthest from our mind, they left everything to follow Him. Probably the last thing they could have ever come up with is He's leaving us. And sometimes that's what God does. He says, I'm revealing to you. I'm not changing what you signed up for. You just didn't understand what you signed up for. I'm revealing it to you. Good night. What in the world's going on? Is faith real? Is the Christian life real? Is heaven real? Was it worth all the sacrifice? Was it worth those nights in the wilderness with a rock as a pillow? Is it worth the cursings by the mobs, the crowds? Is it worth the ostracization by my family? Is it worth all of those things? And he's saying, calm down. And he didn't do it in a cruel way. Let not your heart be troubled. You're worked up, but don't stay worked up. Then he says, I'm going to give you what you need so you don't stay ruled. I've met a lot of Christians in my life, and I understand it now. I haven't always understood it. They got a storm raging inside of them. And you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what the person next to you's been through. I can show a pretty long list. It doesn't matter how long your list is. Let not your heart be troubled. See, don't let it rule you. I've met a lot of Christians, and they can't get it settled. Then they get bitter. They get bitter at the people around them. They get bitter at the pastor, not doing this, not doing that. This is unfair. God was unfair. Why did He do this? Those disciples, from a human speaking point, could say, why didn't you spell this out earlier? You and I could say that sometimes. But He can always say, I did. I said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's included in pick up your cross and follow me. He didn't spell it all out. And I've had those conversations. Pastor, I want an explanation. Jesus didn't give him the whole explanation. He said, just believe in God, believe in me. I'm leaving to go prepare. I'll come back, but in the meantime, I'm not leaving you without one that's going to do greater works than you've seen. At this point, he's not laying out, I'm doing this so one day you'll have an opportunity to stand before the judgment seat of Christ offering something and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not revealing that to them now. And sometimes we as Christians want that. Well, I got to see what all he's doing. He's not going to reveal everything to us that he's doing because where our mind is all over the place. We got the storm inside of us, and he's got to say, you're worked up. Let me calm you down. Believe God. Believe also in me. And he continues. He reminds him of that great comforter. He says, now you lean on him. You trust him. He'll help you. There are times when we must constantly be saying, Holy Spirit of God, help me. Direct me. Lead me. But I'd be lying to you if I told you that I have said that or prayed that every time he's actually helped me. Meaning, when I don't think to do it, he still helps me. He still guides me. When I'm not in the mood, when I don't even know what to say, the Holy Spirit of God is still guiding us, directing us, dropping things in place around us that we can't even see. What a great God we have. And the day comes when Jesus comes forth out of that tomb and they're like, I didn't realize all this was going to happen this way. And oh, what a great honor it was for them to serve and do. Hey, they're no different than you and I. I don't understand. They didn't understand. They didn't like it. They didn't agree. But he reveals that will. We just have to believe him. Father, help us tonight as we consider these.